You know, when I came to this church 12 and a half years ago, I was a youth minister for a long time at Council Road Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. And through that 19 years, we did a lot of interesting, fun things, cool things. One year, something really cool happened. We went on a mission trip south of the border of Matamoros in Mexico. I took like 130-something kids to Aldama, Mexico, and we were going on school buses. And it was a fun experience, interesting experience. And before I left, there was a lady in my church that came up to me and said, "Hey, I got this idea. I think it'd be a good idea to help our kids, our students, understand giving. Understand how when our church comes together and gives, how it makes a difference." And she goes, she handed me $1,500 in cash. And so I just got this idea, you ought to just ask the Lord how God would use this gift. And so we met that morning, we left really early in the morning, and I told our students, I said, "Hey, look, I have $1,500 in cash, let's ask God to lead us in who to give this to as we're on this trip." And so we all prayed together, "Lord, would you use us? And would you use us with these resources you put in our hands?" And so we took off to on this trip, and we were, if you're going to the border, a really good place to stop for lunch from Oklahoma City is that Waco like group of restaurants. I don't know if you've ever been there on I-35. And so there's this group of restaurants, and it's a great place to stop when you have a whole bunch of kids because they can choose. And so I went to Taco Bell, and there were some kids, I think, they were all over the place. And so as the group, I think they were at Wendy's or something, I can't remember which restaurant, but there was a group of kids that overheard this family. They were sitting at this booth, and they said they had car trouble, and this dad and these little kids, and he goes, "Man, dad came up, and he goes, "Callie, it's gonna be $800. I don't know what we're gonna do." And they were just having this conversation. Our kids are sitting right beside them, right behind them. And so they come over to Taco Bell and found me, and they said, Chris, "There's this family, and they're like had car trouble, and it's like they mentioned $800. I don't know if that's what it is." He goes, "Does that count?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think it does." So I kind of give him a little crash course on, okay, well, here's $800. I handed him $800, and I was like, "No, you give this to him." But I said, "Here's what you could say, and you could kind of say this, like, hey, we're a church group, and God is, can we help with this?" And so I just said, "Go for it, go." And they went to Wendy's, and I didn't go check on them. I just stayed where I was. And I go, "But I want you to tell us about it when you get on the bus." And so after they came back, you should have seen their faces. They were like, "Oh, my goodness. We messed that whole thing up that you said. It didn't work that well." But they said, "We got to say to them that God had led us, and we're a church group, and Jesus has changed our lives." And they kind of muddled through it a little bit, but man, this dad's face was like, you're kidding me. You're a group of teenagers?" And it was such a cool moment because our kids got to recognize the value of being a church and using the resources of a church to bring good and bring a gospel witness. Though they didn't get saved, they got to be a witness in that moment. You know, that's kind of what we're doing here. That's like that's what October 6 is important. Because as we come together and build a worship center that we use every week, that we share the gospel with every week, as we provide space for people to gather, to be discipled, as we invest in this 20 acres that we're on, and build student ministry and children's ministry and all these things that God has called us to do. Together, we come on a weekly basis and give to a community to share the gospel. So I really want to challenge you to be prayerful about October 6th. Well, you can bring on a one-day offering to knock this out. For us to make a one-year pledge. You know, here's the thing. We won't start this project until after Easter. But we have the opportunity to save money and to put money back. And you know what? I'm praying that God does a work among us, that the more we can put towards it, the less we have to finance. What happens if we don't, if we'd all just give in a way that we just do it without financing anything? You know, my prayer is that you come together. We come together as a church and prayerfully. In fact, in John 14, turn your Bibles there. We're talking about prayer today, how important prayer is. And in John 14, we're in the upper room discourse, this moment with Jesus and his disciples, and they're in the upper room. And you know what Jesus is doing here? And I'm thankful that the biblical camera turns to this moment in the life of Jesus, because this is an important moment. He's about to go to the cross. He knows it. He's bringing the disciples up to speed. And here they are in the upper room, and he gives them this crash course on prayer. And I'll tell you what was ahead for them. Jesus knew they needed to understand prayer. And so let's stand together. We have a practice in our church. If you're new, we stand in honor of God's word. And you know, that's a good thing, to just physically acknowledge, God, this is your word to us, and we are to understand it and submit to it. And I'm going to, after we read it, I'm just going to simply state the obvious, that this is the word of the Lord. And I would love it if you would respond audibly, going, just praise be to God together. Aren't you thankful for his word? Let's look at it today. John 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as you think about prayer, let's consider it for a little bit. You can define prayer as simply communication with God. And communication, as we know, it involves talking, of course, but also listening. We should listen to the Lord. We should listen to his voice. And it's fascinating when you think about prayer, because, and think about God, because here's what you see in this passage. You see the revelation of the Trinity. You see the revelation of God. You also see a revelation of prayer. And it's revealed how we do it and what happens when it takes place. Let's think about it. Every one of us, if all of us at the same second started talking to God, he would have the ability to understand, to respond to each one of us, even though we're talking at the same time. And he would have the ability to, and he actually leads us in prayer. It's fascinating when you think about prayer. It's powerful. It's remarkable. And we need to pray, not because God's needy and needs us to talk to him, but we need to learn to pray because God helps us understand him when we pray. Now, when you think about prayer, through prayer, here's what I've seen. Through prayer, I've come to see the Lord's hand uniquely. I've seen that in prayer. God has uniquely moved his hand through prayer. I've come to know the Lord's heart specifically through prayer. I have come to understand the Lord's will directly through prayer. You know, many of you know, and I've talked about it a lot. Maybe some of you don't. In 2007 and 8, I started this baseball ministry, and it was this unique movement in my life, this moment in my life that we started this baseball thing, and we recruited a team in 2008, and just had 26 players that were playing for us. We were traveling the country and playing baseball, sharing the gospel, and as we started this ministry, it was very clear to me that God led me to pray for us to take this team on an international mission trip. But that was very expensive, and we were raising the money, and I didn't have any. I had a little bit of money, but I didn't have all that money to take these 26 players and 7 coaches on a baseball mission trip to Nicaragua. But we had a door open. The only thing I didn't have is the money. And so I met with Julianne Sullivan. She was helping me with this. Her son was the one that passed away that we started this ministry. And we sat down, went to a coffee shop. I said, all right, Julianne, I am $26,000 short on going on this mission trip. And we looked at it and we thought, okay, it's a Wednesday. And I met her a Wednesday morning and it was July 3rd. And I said, well, if we don't have the money by Friday, we just can't go because there was a lot of details to work out with all these players, their passports and all these things, plane tickets. And I said, if we don't have it by Friday, we just can't do it. And so we said, okay, that was the plan. So I go back to my office. I get on my knees. I said, hey, Lord, you're the one that put on my heart that we're supposed to go on this mission trip. Remember? And I said, I didn't know if you knew this, but in case you didn't, we are $26,000 short. And so I know that you have a cattle on 1,000 hills. Could you give me one of those cattle? I just was like, Lord, seriously, we need you. I need you. And as I'm praying, a name was put on my heart, Dr. Jordan. Dr. Jordan used to be the head of Oklahoma Baptist. And as I'm praying, his name came to my mind. I immediately stopped praying mid-sentence, called him. He answered, Dr. J, hey, I feel like we're supposed to go on this mission trip. I've got to raise some money by Friday. Could you contribute? I'm $26,000 short. Could you contribute? He goes, I'll give you $5,000. Okay, thank you. By noon, I prayed, but then I worked. I called some people. By noon, we were $16,000 short. And I was like, okay. A name was on my mind. I called Pete Cantrell in Ada, Oklahoma, who was in my church in Ada. And you know Pete, don't you? I called Pete. I left him a message. Pete, this is Chris. He knew about our ministry. He knew about the ambassadors. He knew about this thing. And I just said, would you call me when you get a second? Well, I don't hear from the rest of the day, and I had stuff to do for getting ready for Wednesday night. And I'm walking into our church dinner on Wednesday night, and my phone rings, and it's Pete. And right when he goes, Pete, Chris, this is Pete, what do you need? Pete, and I just went, I said, Pete, let me tell you something. Here's where we are. I started the day $26,000 short. I feel like we're supposed to go on this mission trip. I feel like God has just told me this, but I may have missed it. But I just wanted to throw out to you: could I come to Ada tomorrow, and maybe have some breakfast? I know it's July 4th, but maybe you could grab about 7 or 10 guys that I could maybe contribute a little bit to this, and I could share this vision. And he goes, "Oh, Chris, how much do you need? $16,000? You're too busy for that." I got that. And I go, excuse me? He goes, I got that. Do you need it by tomorrow? I do not know how that man got me a $16,000 check delivered to my office on July 4th. But I had a $16,000 check from Pete Cantrell in my office July 4th. And you know what? I watched God move. You know, in this moment, Philip is coming to understand that God keeps his promises. In that moment, for me, I realized prayer is powerful. Look at verse 7. It's Philip is struggling, and he says, if you had known me, Philip, he's talking to all the disciples, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Jesus is revealing the Trinity here. He's like, you're seeing the Father by seeing me. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. I get this. Because in that moment, when I felt the Lord so close to me, I thought, I'll never doubt God again. And Philip had some experiences going, Lord, if I see the Father, that's enough. And then Jesus said, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have said to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. You know what he's saying? It's a revelation of the Trinity. It's a revelation of, hey, God the Father and God the Son, they're the same. They're separate, but they're the same. You know where we live? You and I live in that time where the Holy Spirit is at work. And here's what we need to understand. Like Philip needed to understand that, Philip, you're looking at the Father when you see Jesus. Hey, let's also recognize that the Holy Spirit continues to powerfully work through disciples of Jesus, that we live in a time where the Holy Spirit is at work. In that moment, as I was praying for God's provision, as I was praying for God to do what he said he was going to do in my life for the ambassador baseball team, God was wanting me to see that the Holy Spirit's powerfully at work. And we need to understand this, because why should we understand this? Because the words of Jesus are believable. That's what he was saying to Philip. Hey, Philip, haven't you heard my words? Look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the accounts of the works themselves. The words of Jesus are believable. Consider what Philip saw. Consider what he saw. Philip saw Jesus feed the 5,000, right? He saw demons completely just do whatever Jesus said. He saw Jesus heal people. He heard him teach. He saw incredible things that Jesus did. Well, look, the words of Jesus are believable. Think about the words we've heard from Jesus. That word that Jesus can, when he moved in my life, when the Spirit moved in my life, let me tell you something, the words of God are believable. This is why we get nourishment from them every time we come to gather here. But Jesus also says in verse 11 that the works of Jesus are believable. And let's not miss that. Let's pay attention to the works of Jesus and let's think about what we get to see. Remember Acts 1? We live at the time after Acts 1 where Jesus was with his disciples later. It's coming for Philip. But remember Acts 1 that but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took them out of their sight. So when you think about the works of Jesus from this moment to today and how the Lord is going to continue to work, let me tell you something, it's believable. We should believe in Jesus. Let's think about how the Holy Spirit's at working right now in his presence. He gives us his presence that we get to experience the presence of God. And how he comes and meets us and comforts us and corrects us. That's why we come to church with this attitude of expectation, because the Spirit of God is at work in this room. The Spirit of God is at work in our lives. God's given us his presence, his promises. We have the revelation of God. I mean, we get to carry this around in our hands. The disciples didn't have that. I mean, they had scrolls, and they had all kinds of things that, like animal skins, and it was hard to you didn't carry around the Bible. We get to carry around the words of God with us. God's given us his promises so clearly. And I'll tell you, when you really get into how we got the Bible, let me tell you something. It's trustworthy. The words of Jesus are believable. The works of the Spirit are believable. Look, let's think about how he gives us people. God gives us his presence. God gives us his promises. God gives us people. That we're not alone in life. We get to sharpen one another, walk with one another, know one another. And through that, I get strength during tough times. I have the power to be a witness for Christ, and we get to see God answer prayer. Let's not miss that the Holy Spirit is at work through, right now, the disciples of Jesus. And look at verse 12. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, let's think about this for a second. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, that we're called to do the works of Jesus. To this day, this is what our church is planted here for, to be a witness to this community, to do the works of God. And we've got to do this well. But notice what he says in verse 12. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Wow. God says that we're going to do greater works. What does that mean? What could that mean, that you and I will do greater works than Jesus did and greater works than the disciples? Now, I don't think he's referring to the cross, because only Jesus could go to the cross. We can't bring salvation. Only Jesus brings salvation. But what's he saying here? How do we understand this? You know, let's not miss the fact that Acts 1:8, he's called us to be witnesses. The Great Commission, he said to the disciples, you're to go be witnesses. Let's think about how Jesus was a witness to the world. Physically, he humbled himself, Philippians 2 says. He limited himself by becoming a man. I mean, Philippians 2 talks about that. And Jesus says he limited himself. But then he says, we're going to do greater works than this. You know, what could that mean? I think we see it all the time. I think the fact that we carry our Bibles in our hands, when we get to heaven, the disciples are going to go, dude, that's awesome that you got to carry that around with you. You got a phone? What's a phone? They couldn't figure out a phone. Disciples had no, when Jesus said, go to all the world, okay, we had a men's breakfast yesterday. It was really cool. Sean Copeland was here, and he spoke at this men's breakfast, and he talked about this. He was sitting in church, and God said to him, I want you to do a daily devotional. And so he did. He started this daily devotional Monday through Saturday. For 15, 18 minutes, he does this devotional, and it's a phone call. I got to speak on it like 2.5 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or so. And let me tell you something. Oh, my goodness. It was kind of weird because I'd never done it before. He said, call this number, hit this button, and then you'll be able to talk. And so I did that, and I called at the certain time, and it was kind of weird. I was sitting in my office, and I called the number. I hit the button. He goes, Chris, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. He goes, okay. Hey, everybody. This is Chris Wall. He's the pastor of First Baptist Owosso. He's going to talk today. Chris, go ahead. And I'm sitting in my office by myself, I thought. But I do this devotional about heaven, talked about heaven. I talked out loud. There were 300,000 people listening on that phone call. What in the world? Okay, well, I would say that might be one of those works that the disciples would go, dude, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Okay, Friday night, there's a young man, I hope he's watching right now. He texted me right before the first service. Friday night, there's this young man that I've gotten to know, Smokey, when I did the wedding in Dallas on August 5th. I did the Hearst wedding. And that morning, I went and met with these three young men. We baptized one of them in May. Gage Brown got saved. And man, Gage is like so on fire for Jesus. He's like smoking. He's witnessing to everybody with a pulse. And these two friends of his, I got to lead one of them to Christ at the wedding, at the breakfast. He wasn't at the wedding, it was the breakfast. But then this other young man that we've been praying for, he calls me Friday night. He's driving from Houston to Dallas. 10 o'clock, calls me. I mean, I'm sharing the gospel with him over the phone. Been praying for him. We've been praying for him on Wednesday nights or on our prayer time. I think that kind of, like, let's think about where we are right now. Every church almost in America, I mean, is broadcasting right now to people in their own communities today. Wayne is, he texted me in the first, he watched the first service. I told this story. He's watching right now. And see, these are those works that I think that we're using the tools of our day. That's why it's wise to consider sharing the gospel in these. We can get on an airplane and fly to Dubai in 24 hours. The disciples were hoofing it down these Roman roads. These are the works that are greater. That's what I think that Jesus is referring to. That these greater works of being a witness, these greater works of going to share the gospel, that you can broaden your reach. Let's think about our day. We will see the day because of AI. As freaky as that thing is, right? I kind of mess with your head a little bit, but you know what that's doing in Bible translation? It's caused an increase in the ability to translate the Bible in other languages. We will see the day, our children will see the day when the Word of God will be translated in every language. You know what the Bible says about that? That's when the end comes, when every nation hears. So let's think about this for a second. Look at verse 13. He says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now I'm going to give you some. I'm going to go quick here. But you ought to write some things down. Let's embrace some things. Like real power comes. How do we process this? Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Let's get into what happens when real power comes. Real power comes when disciples embrace the basics of prayer. Let's embrace the basics of prayer just for a minute. Let's understand prayer. Prayer, what does it do? It doesn't get God to align with my will. Prayer aligns me. It aligns us with God's will and God's purpose. That's what prayer does. When you really learn to pray, you're moved to the will of God. God is not moved to our will. This is very important. Notice verse 14. If you ask me anything in my name. That's not just like, I'm praying my will in the name of Jesus. No, it's God's will. That's what we learned to understand. God, in the Lord's Prayer, it's your will be done as it is in earth and in heaven. So let's not buy into the fact that aligns us with God's will and purpose. You ought to rub shoulders with the great eight. This isn't on the screen. I got this late. I decided on this one late. But Romans 8, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8 really fast. Because Romans 8, my father-in-law has always called it the great eight. My wife's Sunday school class is in the next 2 years is challenged to memorize Romans 8. But in Romans 8:26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." And so we understand that prayer is us aligning with the will of God. This is when we humble ourselves and we know, God, we need you. We look to you. We need your will, not my will. This is what prayer does. Prayer also activates the power of God. This is something that prayer does. Now, it's not that God needs that power activated. We need it. This is important. James 4:2 says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. That we're moved to ask the Lord, that for us to be experience the power of God, we live our lives acknowledging him, not acknowledging your own power. Peter made that mistake when he said to Jesus, look, I'll die for you. Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. And so we understand that we need the power of God, not your own strength. What does prayer sound like? That's a good question. The basics of prayer. Prayer is designed to be a familiar conversation with God. You don't have to come up with some these and thous. You don't have to come up with some fancy language. You learn to talk to God. And that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God. We learn this in Matthew 6, 7 and 8. Jesus taught this, that when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So prayer is this communication with God where you speak to him in a familiar way. You listen to his voice and he speaks, he guides. You know, when you think about prayer, it's also a continuous attitude of our life. We sometimes live in our own strength, and it should be natural for us to go to the Lord all the time. Famous verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you to pray without ceasing, for to be, this is to be a continuous calling of our lives. And here's the truth about prayer. The more you pray, the more comfortable it becomes. And so my challenge to us is that we learn to pray. You know, come on Wednesday nights and join us. Pay attention to our prayer guide that we update every Wednesday. You know that we do that, right? Every Wednesday, we update a prayer guide, things we're praying for in our church. It's on our app. You can access it. Come pray with us. If you don't have a class on Wednesday nights, join us in prayer. Look, the more you pray, the more comfortable it becomes. And here's the thing. God wants you to experience him as you pray. And this is a calling. This is what the disciples needed to understand. Look at verse 13, back to the passage. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You also see right here, the disciples expect to pray effectively. We should pray effectively. And what's that look like? What does it look like to pray effectively? Well, first, I think it's right. When tough times come, prayer should be your first response, right? It's the first response in tough times. It should be natural for us. When we go through a difficulty, we pray. And I get this. I mean, like, people in our world today are like, oh, you Christians, you're saying when there's a tragedy in our culture, oh, you just say pray. A lot of people say, give me a break. Well, those that do that don't understand prayer. That we are a people that, without apology, when tough times come, the Lord's the first one we go to. Lord, I'm going to you. And the Bible's clear on this. It says we understand we need the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And you know what? I loved the baptism today. And when Susan talked about how there's anxieties that she had, look, that's an example to all of us. When we have anxieties, we should trust the Lord. And what we saw today from this young girl in our church, that has said, look, I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to give him my life and I'm nervous about getting in front of everybody. But you did it. And God gave you strength and you set an example for everybody. That's great. It's amazing. But you know, we're to cast our anxieties on him. Let's not miss what we saw today. It's a critical and beautiful example. You know, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about this in tough times. You know, we've gone through some trials here. We've asked God to take those away from us. That's okay. It's not inappropriate to say, God, would you take this trial away from me? Would you stop this? But here's what we know from the scriptures. Remember in Acts 4? Acts 4 is this really cool example of Peter it was Peter and John. They were beaten because they were a Christian. They were sharing the gospel. They were literally beaten. And you know what their prayer was? Not, God, would you help me not be beaten? That's not what they prayed. You know what they prayed? And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. It's cool because they said, hey, God, do you know that they're like going to beat us again probably? Would you take note of that? I think that's a good thing to pray. Hey, Lord, would you protect me? Because I would say that sometimes we think, God, you're going to get that guy and you're going to use me to do it. I can't wait, you know. But they set an example of saying, no, Lord, would you take note of their threats? But you know what they prayed? Lord, give us boldness to share the gospel with confidence. So I think about that as we've gone through trial and difficulty. Lord, God's will as it's revealed sometimes isn't my will, but you know what we experience is God's power through the trial. And that's what we know. And I am amazed at how I watch God do this. That, you know, Karen, you're here today. Trust in the Lord in the midst of, it was a tough week. But here you are going, God, I'm trusting you. We see this all the time of God empowering us through the trial. And let's not miss that we go to the Lord when tough times come, but we trust him with the outcome. We trust what he reveals. Prayer is our first response when tough times come. Prayer is a natural response when things are going well. This is what prayer is. When things are going well, it's a natural response to thank the Lord and praise the Lord. You know, we see this all through the scriptures that you know, if anyone, James 5:13, is any one of you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. You know, there are times that things are going well and we sing. You know, there's a difference between just singing and then really singing in praise. And you know, for us to come and not just go through the motions, but really sing. Like we had a new song today about the power of salvation. We had an old song today about trusting the Lord and believing in him. Regardless of what songs you like or sing, we engage the Lord and sing and learn that, oh my goodness, God, you've given us singing as a form of prayer. That's what singing is, a form of prayer. That we go, Lord, I'm grateful. I mean, golly, I have a son with a calling to write songs. And as I heard every time he's at my house, I wrote a new song. Dad, you want to hear it? You bet. I want to hear it. But you know, there are times that songs that Eric has written, and I'm like, yeah, golly, I wish I could have put those words together like that. Yes. It's a praise. I'm grateful for people that have been gifted through history that can write songs and sing praise, that can articulate things that I wouldn't have thought up on my own, but when they sing them, I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you. My heart is moved. You know, prayers, let's not forget that prayer is the greatest resource when physical and spiritual difficulties come. Prayer is the greatest resource we have, and we neglect it often, and this is why I pray that we remember the power of prayer, that prayer always produces results. It always does. Prayer produces results for us. And we see it all the time, and we got to pay attention, and we need to engage the Lord and come to the Lord and look to Him and depend on Him and have this heart that says, Lord, whatever you reveal, I see you, I hear you, I trust you. You know, my wife and I are in this habit right now. And it's this habit of our back porch. I had this swing made in our back porch, and my wife loves it. Best present she ever gave her, according to her. And you know, it's we have this habit. We go out and it's dark, and we pray together. We're praying, having our quiet time separately, but then pray together as we are out on our back porch. And it's always dark. And it's usually in that moment when, depending on the time of the year, the sun's starting to come up and you're starting to see. And this week, oh my goodness, I was just thinking about prayer and you know what prayer does for us? You know what prayer does for me? It moves me to live right. Moves me to live right. When I'm praying to the Lord, it causes me to confess sin and pay attention to what God's doing and softens my heart to His word. It moves me to have faith. Moves me to trust the Lord, that see His word and trust Him. And this week, I ran into Psalm 130, 5 and 6, and it just reminded me of what this habit that Robin and I are in. Psalm 130, 5 and 6 says this, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. And he repeats it, more than the watchman for the morning. You know what's happened? Every time Robin and I have been on the back porch early in the morning, you know what's happened every time? The sun came up every time. You know, we sit there long enough, it's coming up. And you know what this psalmist says? Lord, waiting for you is like that. God is so faithful. And you know what? There are times we'll have to wait to understand. Karen, we're going to have to wait to understand some things. But let me tell you something. Just like the sun comes up, God is faithful. We're going to tell the story. We had such a moment 2 weeks ago at our prayer time. And, you know, the Zvitos are here, and they've helped us start our cancer ministry. It was on their heart. Wes has battled cancer, and I was just blown away. I don't know if you were here on the day that we prayed for this cancer ministry that we're starting that is helping people in our church that have gone through cancer. But we had them come down, and Wes brought this up as I asked people to stand if their life has been impacted by cancer. And literally almost the entire room in both services stood. And you know, they started that ministry, and shortly after that ministry was off the ground, Wes's cancer came back. And he has cancer in his tongue, and he had to go to have a surgery, and right when he got back, we went to his house, and another couple and I went to his house, and we gathered outside in their backyard, overlooking Lake Ulaga. It was beautiful. But we gathered together and we prayed. You know what we prayed? We prayed that God would help Wes be able to communicate. We prayed that we would understand him. Was it 3 weeks ago? Two weeks ago that y'all were there? 2 weeks ago. Wednesday night. They came to prayer time. And we're just praying, just going through our prayer time, our guide, and I try to stop talking after 15 minutes so we can pray for a solid 45. And we start praying. We're just praying, going through our list, and praying for our church, praying for different things, praying for people. And Wes prayed. He prayed. And as he's praying, I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness. I understood him. We all understood him. And we had to stop prayer time and go, oh, wait, time out. We understood him. God answered a prayer. You know, there are times that we get to see God answer a prayer. It happens more than we think if we pay attention. And here's what I pray, that we become a church that prays, a church that recognizes, God, I need you to every hour. We sang that. Lord, I need you every hour. That's not just a slogan. That's a spiritual truth that is critical to understand. And when you understand, Lord, I need you every hour, guess what? You look to him. You call on him. You seek him. And you know one of the things that I'm most excited about, and I pray this happens, you know what I've been praying for our church? Is that we move more. We come and pray more. I'm not just trying to get people to come pray just to make me feel better. Because God, we things are happening in our church. People are getting saved. It's cool. But you know what I want us to do is, I'm excited about one of our aspects of our remodel that I'm excited about is we're going to have a better prayer area in corporate worship. Look, we need the Lord every hour. There's something expectantly when we come to worship and gather. I'm not just here to be theologically accurate, though I must be. We're not just going to love the Lord with just our minds. We will love the Lord with our minds, but also our heart, our soul, and our strength. And God's put us here to love our neighbor as ourself. That's Mark 12, the greatest commandment. Folks, let's learn to pray. That's what Philip had to catch. And that's what disciples today must catch, that we are a people that learn to pray. So Brandon's going to come up. We're going to have an invitation. And, you know, let's just go to the Lord. Just as he, Brandon, can we sing "I Need Thee Every Hour"? Was that the song? Okay, let's do that. And look, our prayer team is here. And in fact, those guys that are on our prayer team, would you go around the room and just be around the room? Wes and Kathy, would y'all come up here? Would y'all come and pray? Just be available. Is anybody else on our prayer team here that's here? Denise, would you go stand over there on that? Brian, would you guys just come and just be here? Would you do that? Just come, just stand here. Just be available to pray for somebody if they need it. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. But let's go to the Lord. Singing this song, I need, it's got a thee in it, that's okay. I need thee every hour. That's how it was written, so let's sing it how it was written. It was written a long time ago. But let's go to the Lord in prayer today. If you need somebody to pray over you, these are like normal people. that have just walked with the Lord that'll pray with you. Would you stand where you are? Father, we need you this hour. So, Lord, we call on you and look to you. Thank you for this crash course on prayer. Would you teach us to pray? In Jesus' name, amen.